Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Devin. Welcome back. It's been a couple weeks.
Thank you. Welcome back to you.
Oh, thank you. It's good to talk again. All right, what do you got to start us off this evening?
You need to have the diligence to investigate the things that call to you.
Have the diligence
to investigate the things that call to you.
I like that. I think that that speaks to the first part of pushing into a new thing. You know, that kind of investigatory, like,
diligence.
Creativity, you know. I don't know, diligence, like, to me, diligence seems like the ability to keep going, right? The diligence. But that's the thing. It's like you have to have the diligence to investigate, to push a little further.
Yeah, you have to have the diligence to continue to do that as well, right? In our old age, in your late 40s, in my mid 30s.
Funny guy.
Even decrepit people like us, like, I don't know, when you find something that piques your interest, a lot of us find a lot of things, but I think it's good to have, it's like doing your due diligence, right? It's doing your due diligence to investigate things that call to you. If you get lucky enough to have something sparked inside, you should follow it.
Yeah, I mean, I think as creatives, that's something that comes easy to us, I guess. Mm. You know, it's like, oh, you know, that's those are the things that interest you. Like, you want to try to be more creative. You want to learn a new thing. You know, it's like, but not everybody has that. So, like, and having that, the diligence to keep trying, keep trying. Yeah, not just become complacent and, you know, be happy with, I guess. I don't know. It's easy to be lazy.
What I like to do is buy something cheap from Amazon to get you started, right? Mm-hmm. Like the first tool or the book. And I have a lot of those things laying around that haven't been used, but I feel like it's a little bit of commitment to put your cards on the table and say, let's do it. Let's get started. I'll spend 25 bucks on like a Chinese set of whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then hopefully just it's sitting around enough where you finally go ahead and give a shot and try it. So go do your due diligence, and if something calls to you, follow it. Follow the muse.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, and also something that I kind of learned long ago was just having those things around you. Having, like, the things that you're interested around you that you can see them makes a difference. Like, I remember when you started playing guitar, we had our guitars just, like, out. You know, Dad always had his guitars around, but we had them on a guitar stand just sitting there in the living room in front of you, you know? So it's very easy. You see it there. It's easy to pick it up. There's no step. There's no hurdle to get into it. It's just automatic. That's one of the biggest things about having, like, an actual workshop. That's like ready to use, you know, the tools are put where they belong, you know, where everything is, you know, that's, it's not the hurdle of, oh, I don't have the right thing to do that thing. So I'm just gonna, you know, watch Olympics on my phone instead, which is what I've been doing for the last week.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. I love some Olympics. Yeah. The time thing is weird. I will say the primetime broadcast is, it's so many commercials because they can, because it's already been, so they don't have to take anything live, but it's like 10 minutes of sport, then 10 minutes of commercials. It is like unbearably bad. It's so unbearably bad that when I've complained so much, I annoy my wife to where she's annoyed at me, but I'm like, there's injustice going on here. Like,
I know, it's so bad.
They're putting us through this shit. Like, oh, and then you'll get like a, you'll get, you know, a sport or a round of something, gymnastics, swimming right now. Those are the big ones they're showing. And then you'll go away for 10 minutes and you'll come back and they'll do some puff piece about, like, you know, she came from Kentucky and her father's car broke down one time and somehow she still made it to practice. Like, I don't care.
I know. Yeah.
Like, this whole thing, this whole thing, I mean, it's good. I will say it's good to get you invested.
Right.
In the story, a little bit of the people, but it's like, come on, we're not the underdogs. No matter where we from the U.S. come from, us swimming against Cambodia, we're not the underdogs. Don't try to make it. We're the underdogs. We are the best trained, and we have the most money behind us. So stop.
Yeah, I was watching the U.S. South Sudan basketball game, which I think played either today or yesterday. I was watching a replay of it, and, like, you know, third of the way through the game, whatever, they started talking about South Sudan as that, you know, like they're from a place that they have no indoor basketball courts. It's all outdoor basketball courts, and all of their like, you know, athletes basically come together and do it on their own when they can, you know, and so it's like, it's like feel good information, but during the game, you know, it's like just the announcers talking about it, you know, like, yeah, it's cool to hear about, oh, then this one guy, you know, came out of South Sudan and he played in the NBA for 10 years and he and LeBron are good friends. And it's, you know, it's like,
right.
Yeah. Give me that stuff in the moment, you know, like what announcers, that's what sports broadcasters do.
But
you
don't
know,
they
fill in the time.
And they push aside other sports so much. Like, look, gymnastics is fine. Swimming is fine. But there are so many cool sports going on, like, you know, cross-country horse racing and surfing and skateboarding and BMX racing and, like, awesome stuff that we never get to see, but we spend so much time on the swimming and gymnastics. It's,
I know.
Come on, it's add some other shit. Why don't you give us 5 less minutes of commercials and throw on some BMX racing or
I know, we got plenty of people winning golds in all those things, you know,
like the men rowing won gold for the first time in like some crazy amount. And there's coverage. You get a 2-second blip about it. That's the story. Show that. Like Steph Curry playing basketball is not a, like, it's fine, but these are millionaires.
It's not like we're never going to see that again.
These are millionaires playing a sport. These are rich people coming over to another country and whooping everyone's ass. Like, that's fine, but let's see something else, huh?
Yeah. Well, I will say that, like, having, you know, like, I got Peacock for the month. You know, I got
me
a subscription
too. Me
eight
too,
bucks or something. Yeah. You know, and having that, there's coverage of, like, everything. You know, not it doesn't cover everything all the time, but it's like,
is true.
You can choose your sport and there'll be coverage on it. You know, which is cool. Like, that's cool. You know, they do have it, but it's not prime time. You know,
They do have, but I would like to just sit down. I mean, the best to me is when you can start at like 7:30 and watch until as long as you can, like whatever, you know, they go until 11.
Yeah.
Like that's fun. Like keep it on, let the kids watch it for a while. Maeve's been doing like the balance beam and stuff and doing rolls and flips like all over the living room. She loves it. I show her horses and, but there's like that. Cross country horse racing you call it. I forget what it is. Like a steeplechase type thing.
Yeah.
Like through the gardens of Versailles and you don't cover that. How crazy is that? It's amazing.
I was watching jumping the other day. Yeah, like the horse jumping. Like jumping's cool. You know, like watching a lot of sailing. I've been obviously watching a lot of sailing.
Right, sailing's great. Super like, good. Dude, so I just flipped it on, and I, speaking of the Peacock coverage, that's what I was doing. So it's like sailing's on right now, so I switched to it.
Live. Yeah. Nothing for hours.
And I was watching it live. And I was like, I see them, and they are flying. I was like, holy shit, these guys are flying. I was like, this is amazing. And I was watching for like 3 minutes, and then they finally zoomed out. They were getting towed in to shore. So these little boats are getting pulled by speedboats. I was like, how are they going so fast? Like 30 knots.
Although those boats, man, the 49ers.
The big ones go fast.
Yeah, the 49ers, like the little, two spinnakers.
The little ones weren't, I mean, there's no way they could, but they were getting towed.
What they call lasers or whatever. Those are.
But the big ones with the hard sails and the, those things are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of cool. Like, there are three things that I've been watching in sailing. There's the windsurfing, which is, they're foiling windsurfers, so individual boats that actually come up foil, you know, so they'll go like 20 miles an hour, which is pretty sweet. You see them rolling. And then they have the. The dinghies, which is the lasers, kind of like a shorter version of a sunfish, you know, just one sail and just one person. And then they have the 49ers, which are the skiffs, which are two people, and they like trapeze out, you know, lean back and like, and they're rolling. And all those boats, I mean, the Lightning, those little boats, the lasers, they probably go, you know, maybe 10 knots or something downwind, you know, so they don't look like they're going super fast. But the 49ers and the windsurfers, like they roll. Like it's fun to watch because they got these little spinnakers that they can pull up like super fast and then pull down, and it just goes into a little bag right on the deck. Like it's been fun to watch. And there's a lot of like athletes that race for Sail GP, which I watch a lot of as well. The big, the 50-foot catamarans, the foiling catamarans that go, you know, 100 kilometers an hour almost.
Yeah.
But, and so there's competitors that are working in the Olympics, which is kind of fun to see that crossover. But USA has been doing pretty good in the 49ers. They had two races today. It's the gold medal race right now. USA is in fourth place, total points, behind, I think, New Zealand. It's like Spain, Ireland, New Zealand, U.S. And any of those four can, like, depending on this last race. So the last race is not like a do or die. It's not like the person who comes in first gets gold. It's a point thing, right? So it's like an accumulation of points over 12 races. And then based off of this last race, you know, so there's like 10 boats in the last race. And I think if we beat New Zealand by at least one place, like, or at least two places, right? Someone, like, we get third and they get fifth, we'll have enough points, or you know, it's kind of the lowest points, but we'll take over the bronze medal if we do that. So
right, nice.
And then so I mean, and actually they had two races today that were supposed to be the final race, but the first one, they both got canceled in the middle of the race because the wind just died down, right? So they started the race. And then the wind dies, and then the race committee just calls it because it's not fair at that point, right? They don't want the final race to be no wind. You know, people are just bobbing around, and, you know. So, yeah, so it was two races that got canceled today, and then I guess they'll do it tomorrow. But speaking of races tomorrow, I will be racing tomorrow in the Gov Cup.
Look at all the sport talk. Yeah, you're doing the big Gov Cup tomorrow.
Yeah, and Corinne's going with me this time for the first time.
This is her first. That'll be nice. This
will be her first Gov Cup, which is super exciting.
The old ass-chapping race. My ass was so raw after that. Well, because I also wore, it was like, you know, I had a bathing suit or whatever. But I did get absolutely soaked.
Yeah.
Because we were bobbing up and down. Waves are crashing over.
Yep. Yeah, that was a brutal race. That was a long, just like upwind race, which a lot of them are. And you know, that was, you know, we raced the J24, the 24-foot sailboat for a lot of years. Mm. Now we have our S2 9.1 meters, which is just under 30 feet, so 29.8 feet. Higher up off the water, you know, mm-hmm. a lot heavier, so it goes through waves and stuff. So it's a much more comfortable way to race the Gov Cup. Mm-hmm. It's the way the Gov Cup's supposed to be raced. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you had that fun race. That was a wild one. We were all chapped after that one. Mm-hmm. But then did you? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you did Boomerang with us in Gun too as well. So you got to do kind of an overnight in that bigger boat, which is fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been doing a bunch of prep on it. We just doing kind of standard, like working on the top of the mast and working on the engine stuff and making sure everything's ready to go and clean the boat and got all our gear and we're all chatting about tactics and stuff. So that starts tomorrow afternoon at 3:15.
Find the win and go fast.
Exactly. Find the win. That's the key. The
tactic. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're supposed to have kind of storms overnight, like nothing like thunderstorms, but there should be sporadic rain, you know, like throughout the night.
Right.
So, you know, whenever that happens over the bay, you can kind of see it coming. If it's not mm-hmm. just like hours of just consistent rain, you know, if it's thunderstorms, you can see them coming, you know, so you can kind of do your best to avoid them if you need to.
Would they cancel midway with a bad storm?
No, they wouldn't. I mean, unless it were like a national or like a, you know, a Maryland, hurricane. Right. Yeah. Like a storm, like a warning, you know, like every boat should be off the bay, you know, if it was something like that, they would. But otherwise, you know, there's been some pretty nasty storms that we've sailed through or sailed around, you know, but you just keep on sailing. some boats, we've had some pretty high wind. We had one race one year where the both of our halyards that pull up our front sails, so the lines that pull the sails to the top of the mast, two of our halyards broke out of the three that we had. So we decided to turn around and go back that year. We were like, can't take our sails up. So, and that was actually a really bad storm that night and really high wind. And I think it was something like a third of the fleet ended up, DQ or whatever it's called, you know, like canceling out of the race in the middle for different issues. You know, some people were just like cruisers who were like, nah, it's enough. I'm okay. I don't need to do this race. And other people had, you know, different, mechanical and failures and stuff like that. So like we did. it's always a little bit of a, you know, like it's, you don't know. It's like, you hope for wind and you hope for relatively dry, but you know, there've been, I would say out of all the years I've done it, which has probably been like, I don't know, 20 different Gov Cups or something like that. Mm-hmm. A couple years off when I was in grad school, I didn't do it. And a couple years before that were after the Relentless sunk and we were getting it fixed. But out of all those years, I'd say maybe like a quarter, you know, we have rain overnight, or a third, you know, so out of one every three Gov Cups, you end up having a couple storms throughout the night. You just, you know, we all bring foul weather gear and we're ready for it. And
yeah, I mean, getting wet on a boat is not, no one's surprised by it. No one's unprepared for it. And if you are, that's way, way your fault.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we have, you know, there's enough, like, because it's a long race, you know, we have long tacks, you know, so it's not like we're doing a ton of maneuvers all night long. You know, every like 10 minutes, you're tacking for half an hour and then you put a tack in and you go in the other direction for another half an hour or whatever, 40 minutes, and you put a tack in. So, you know, in those situations where it's like potentially really like heavy downpour and whatnot, if the wind's not super high, you know, we'll have most people like just down below chilling out. You know, you have like two or three people up on deck just helming the boat and cruising.
That would kill me. Absolutely destroy me. Sick wise.
Yeah. In the dark.
I can't go below. It's just terrible. Okay. Well, so yeah. Godspeed. Good luck. Win this one. Woo-hoo. You said that, who knows, they might not keep doing them, or you're not sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's kind of lost popularity over the years. This is 51. So we'll see. But I'm excited. Yeah, it should be fun, and I'm excited for Corinne to do it for the first time. She's been sailing with me for a couple years now, so for her first overnight race on Gunn, it'll be exciting, and she'll get to know what it's all about. So it should be cool. I'm excited.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so we haven't recorded the podcast in a couple weeks, not since we recorded with Working Hands with Keith and Tony. But that's because we've been on vacation. We were on vacation for a week, which we kind of had, and we intended to possibly record the podcast while we were on vacation, but, you know, we didn't.
Did you bring stuff?
I did. Well, I brought the the DJI stuff. So I brought the mics and I brought the camera and stuff if we were going to do it live. But
yeah,
he just gets busy. Yeah, but you know, it was fine. It was cool. We had a good time camping. Always a blast. It was cool. We had, you know, now that a lot of us have e-bikes, there were a lot of e-bikes there, which is fun. You know, we're all like zipping around the campground.
I planted the e-bike bug. It spread.
It did too.
Spread through our family. Yeah, it's funny because it's constantly we're camping. So we do you know, state parks and things like that. And you know, it's never like what are those Yogi Bear ones? Jellystone
or yeah, like the Lego.
Right. We never did any of those or KOAs. Yeah. We never did any of those. It's kind of the whatever cheaper ones you could get.
Just normal state parks. And they like have a lake, you know, you can go swimming, stuff like that.
That's yeah, so key. We do a lake and bathhouse and shower. So it's and sights. And this year for the first time we had electric sights, so that was actually really nice, surprisingly. Yeah. everyone had like fans. I had a normal battery fan, but like you'd go into a site and you'd hear like fans running. Like in yours, it was like Derek's tent had the big fan. I would go into Guy's and he had a huge fan in their giant tent. We cooked on like a electric Japanese like hibachi style thing for one of the meals. Sweet. Like it was great.
Drew had his coffee maker, like a regular coffee maker.
We just bought regular stuff, but it was, and I was, I'll say this. Our friend Guy, it was his first camping trip. So, you know, I'm trying to give him a bunch of tips and tell him what to buy. And like these new kind of stand up straight tents that people have been getting, which are, seems to be nice, but we always went with like simple dome tents because it's the least amount of things to break, least amount of poles.
Yeah, usually but, relatively inexpensive.
But inexpensive. But, you know, honestly, if you can do one of these new style like, tents or and pay for it, it's fine just as well. And they're really big. So he got that tent, and I was telling him to get like a dome tent, but he went with that anyway. But it actually was, you know, really nice and big, and you know, we didn't have any hurricanes or anything. There wasn't any high winds, so you don't have to worry about, you know, this kind of you know, domed is to for, you know, it can withstand some weather
stuff.
But when you don't need that really, which is usual on that type of camping trip at a state park.
Yeah, when you're in the woods, you know, and stuff, you're not getting a ton of wind.
It's not so bad. So
He
actually, you know, they did well, and we were all there for I was there for most of the week. You guys were there for all the week. And but I was going to say, it's funny because you'd be walking around or biking around, and there's always like someone in our group, like family or friends, like zipping by. You'd see them like flying by on the road. We were like zooming all over. But it is such a nice way to like see the sights and just, especially it was so hot to cool off.
Yeah,
to get that 20-mile-per-hour breeze.
Yeah, it was great. That was like, I don't know, a day after we were there, Guy told me, he showed how to access the menu for the bike, because we had the, what's it called, the style, the brand, whatever. The brand
bike that
what's the one that it's...
I think he is a Hemiway.
No, he and I, we have the
Mach
same.
Mach wheel.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, if you, it's like, you know, you hold the power button and the whatever button for 5 seconds and it goes into the menu. And in the menu, you can change up whatever you want. But the other cool thing you can change is the governor, right? Because the it will give you you can throttle up to 20 miles an hour, and then the throttle won't give you any more after 20 miles an hour. You can like with the Mach wheel, you can still pedal, and it'll still give you power over 20 miles an hour, but it won't just straight throttle. So went in and changed that up to 30 miles an hour, which is the max. So that was sweet. So it was like, once I had that, I was like, nice. Now I got power, straight throttle power up to, you know, 30 miles an hour. And when, you know, something like that, where we're at a campground and we have electric sites where we can charge the batteries, the bikes, however many times we want, it wasn't a big deal. You know, like, you could like pedal around, or you could also just like, just throttle.
Yeah. You could blast 10 miles at 30.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, it was fun as always. We had a good time with everybody, and I'm glad Guy could go. And we had, I mean, it's a big group, it's a lot of people to kind of like
coordinate everybody,
but you know, we all kind of had our own dinners, or one or two of us would, or you know, one family or the other would kind of get together and eat. And you can't really like do a, unless we had some type of giant group site thing,
right,
we could coordinate things, but there's just too many people at that amount.
Yeah, and you know, if we wanted to, it could happen. It was just, it's just a lot of coordination to do like big group meals every night, you know.
Right.
And it's not necessary. You know, it's like, yeah, it's kind of fun. Like, and you can do that, but it's
just everyone wants their own stuff anyway. It's just like, bring your own stuff, and right. I mean, I it was me and Maeve, and then it was two nights. Well, either way, I was going to eat two nights with Guy and Abby and them. So we did two nights, and it was great. And everything else was, you know, camping. It's small meals and things like that. And I will say, it'll be nice when going camping, I don't have a toddler or, you know, a 3-year old. I love having her there, and I'm so glad she gets to do it. It's so much fun to watch her have fun camping.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of, it's a lot more work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a constant, like, you gotta go potty, you gotta do this, where is she? Don't go on the road, watch her do this, you know, it's like this. And you wanna also let her do her own stuff, but then there's poison ivy everywhere, and there's a road in the middle of the thing, and the kids are fighting over stuff, so you still do have to be vigilant, but
be a parent the whole time.
So I can't wait until she's like, you know, 8.
Yeah.
And I can bring Grant too, and have them, and Caitlin will come, and that'll help too. And when she did come with the baby, it was a little bit easier that, you know, I get a little taste of single parenthood.
Yeah.
Like, just like that. Oh, it's so stressful. You mean I gotta do everything. You know. But it's fun. It's I love it so much, and we had a good time, and Maeve just loved it to death.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to watch, man. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's like Maeve, and then Guy's son, little, you know, Guy Jr., and Finley, Drew's son, you know, so we have all these like three little kids that are all the same age basically, and just like having a blast together. It's so much fun to see them having fun. And then Annette's daughter Kennedy, you know, she's older, but she's like in charge, you know. She was like, okay, this is what we're gonna do,
putting little games together,
playing games, helping them out. And yeah, it was fun. And that's like, it's one of those things where obviously over the years, you know, we were always the kids, and mom and Eileen, and they all did like the adult stuff. And then, you know, then we become adults and have our own kids, and it's like the roles change, and you're like, okay, I gotta do this and this. And then, you know, like Nicole and I, we're now, Corinne's 14. So it's like last year she was like a camp, and we just went without her, and we were like, oh man, we can just do whatever we want. Like, although, you know, at that age.
And still, that's kind of how it is now. That's kind of how it is with her this year. She's either reading or biking or hanging out with us. It was never a thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And she's to the age now where she, like, you know, or I don't know about the age, but Corinne's like always, she's liked hanging out with all of us. You know, she's not super teenagey, you know, wants to go and do her own thing all the time, so it's just kind of fun, you know. Obviously, like, she'll have those moments, but it's nice to, you know, that she enjoys hanging out with the group and talking and doing stuff, and that was fun. It was
a good time.
Yeah, it was fun. I love camping just for the fact that you're just it's like any vacation, but you're allowed to not do anything, you know. It's like you're just there to relax, you know, and you're like, yeah, you, like you cook your meals and then between you just sit around and you hang out and you like toss a ball around or you like just talk or you read a book or, you know, it's like.
The nice thing is, there's not a bunch of plans. Right. Or maybe, I mean, I'm sure some people do it, but I was also talking to Guy's wife, Abby, and she was like, it was both their first time. And she was like, you know what? It's nice because when they go, they have a place by the beach, like in Rehoboth, or they, you know, have a RV or whatever. And with their family, she's like, we get there, and then you got to do something, and then you got to go to lunch, and then we all go to the beach, and then we come back, and then like, oh, let's go somewhere for dinner, and let's, do, you know, it's like constant. Like plan just a making
schedule, right.
It's like, itinerary, what are we doing? Why are we here? We're and it's a funny thing when you get it seems that when you get to that place, all the grandparents and stuff forget what it was like to have a bunch of kids.
just
bring them. Just come on, we'll go do this and that and this and that. You're like, well, they have naps, and we're gonna do this meal. And we like, no, it's fine. Just do this and that. You're like, no, we're gonna. Like, we got these things we need to do, and they're like ready to party.
Yeah, I know.
Let's all go out and do this and that. I was like, you know how much it's a lot to do with these kids. Like, we all have these little
kids. Oh, how quickly you forget.
Right. Maeve is 3.
Yeah, right, exactly. If she doesn't sleep today, then she'll be up all night. Right, up all night, then she's going to be up all night for 2 weeks.
If you offer the third popsicle of the day, don't yell it throughout the camp, because now it has all the children have been alerted.
And they don't take no for an answer.
Ready, spell it, or give me some hand signal for popsicle alert, and I will turn her away.
Yeah. I was listening to Kennedy talk to Eileen. So Kennedy is our friend Annette's daughter, and Annette is our age, and Eileen is her mom. And Kennedy was talking to Eileen about wanting, she had a popsicle or she had something, and she wanted to go and play. And Eileen was like, no, you know, we already had this discussion. She was there in their site. They were like, you know, I said you could have this, but we don't have enough to share with everyone, so you have to eat it here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And she was like, no, but I want to go play. And she was like, okay, you can go play, but you got to give me the popsicle. You know, she's like, no, I want it. Well, she's like, okay, well, then you need to stay here. And then she she just kept getting more and more frustrated. And Eileen was like doing a great job of just holding it, sticking to her guns. And I was like, yeah, good job. And then she was like, but I want my mom. And she was like, you're too old for this. Like, cause Kennedy's like 7 or, you know, 6 or 7. I think she just turned 7. So she's like, you're too old for this. Like, you do not, you're trying to get out of this, and I'm not going to let you do it. She's like, but I want my mom. She's like, okay, you can go get your mom, but you got to leave the popsicle here. She's like, no, I want the popsicle. And she's like, they went back and forth a couple times, and then it was great. I was just listening to her. Like, Eileen was just sticking to her guns, like, nope, you're not doing it. And like, and then she was like, okay, well, I'll go and get your mom. And she like walked over and like brought Annette back over with her. You know, I was like, all right, nice. I was like, yes. But it was that situation where, like, if she would have ran off there, and then all the kids would have wanted one. And she had, you know, Eileen had the mindset, of course, like, that they didn't have enough to share with everyone, but they also, it's a bunch of little kids, you know, like, you guys as parents might not have wanted them to have it, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, it's all that stuff. And each kid has their own thing.
Right.
And they all get sassy or upset or exhausted about certain things. So you just have to figure out a way and stick to your guns about stuff. Like, yeah, Maeve would get upset about things, and you gotta like figure out a way to fix it and all those things. Just
right.
There's a little, you know, there's the kids are loving it, but they're also thrown off their schedules, and they're also not necessarily in their comfort zone, which is a good thing in the long run. That's what you want. Right. It's fun to be out in nature and be doing something different. But if they get a little moody.
Yeah.
It's kind of comes with it. You're like, well, I figured this would happen, you know. You know. There was one night Maeve woke up. She's like, I'm scared. It's dark. Like, and that's true. Like, you know, you're in a tent and she doesn't know where she is. Right. She's 3. She has no idea. She woke up alone
yeah.
on some weird blow up mattress in a tent. I was like, that's fine. And then I actually, that's when I started leaving the light on, just the real little little dim light. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's enough. And she slept great. And after that, she never woke up. She took all her naps. It was great.
Nice.
And she's not old enough yet to know that she's like missing fun when she has to go down for the nap. Right. Or she doesn't necessarily want a nap, but she will, and she definitely napped real well because she was like exhausted, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like wake up and just play hard.
Yeah.
You know, hard until nap time. And then wake up and then play hard until bedtime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was fun. We so one of the things that we always do when we're camping, and this is from years of experience, is we bring these giant tarps. And we put them up, we hang them up over the entire campsite. So we get these 25 by 30 foot tarps. And usually what you do is you kind of stretch your tarp, you know, kind of evenly spaced in the middle of the site. And then you take the picnic table and you put it in the middle. And then you put your pole on the top of the picnic table and it holds the tarp up like a big circus tent. Mm-hmm. And then you have your tents inside and you have all your chairs and stuff. And usually kind of right on the edge is where the fire pit is. So it's like, you know, the smoke can go out. But this year when we got there, all of the picnic tables were anchored down to the ground.
Yeah.
And they were like off on the side of the site. So we like couldn't do our typical thing, which if you saw, for those listening, you saw my Instagram post about my horrible welding job, but I was welding a base for a tarp pole, you know, so when we have our tarp poles, you know, if the wind catches, and occasionally the wind will blow, and you know, if a storm's happening, and the tarp will lift up, and then you have your pole, and if the pole isn't supported, then it falls over and your tarp comes down and you have to kind of like readjust it. So we've learned this over the years, and usually we have like a bucket that's full of rocks, and you have your pole in the middle of it and you fill the rocks up, and so that heavy weighted, you know, bucket with rocks holds the pole vertical. So I was this year, I'm thinking, okay, well, I want to do something a little different because I want to be able to use that space on the picnic table that the bucket usually takes up. You know, so you have a bucket, whatever, 6 or 7 inches around. And so, you know, it takes up some space. And so there's always like that bucket in the middle of the table. So I was like, well, I don't want that. So I want to, so I cut out a 1 foot section of sheet metal. And then I got a 1 foot tall, maybe an inch and a half round pipe. Cut it off, and
it looks like you made a firework mortar, which was the guess of a lot of people.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then that was like, and I just had my pole, which it actually worked really well, but I wasn't able to actually use it the way that I wanted to because the picnic table was off to the side. So we ended up having like, I have a 8x or 10x10 pop up tent, whatever. So I brought that up on one side, and then the tarp on the other side, and I did end up using the pole in the middle, but it was just sitting on the ground, not which like it did its job, but it didn't do it for the reason that I wanted it.
Right.
But it ended up working out fine because I didn't need it because we just put the 10x10 over top of the table, and so obviously that we didn't need a pole in the middle, but and I was like, dang it, I wanted the culmination of the thing, right? I was like posting about what it was and had to like, you know, wrong answers only to get some funny stuff, which there was a bunch of funny stuff, which is fun.
Yeah.
And you know, and
did
like,
you say wrong answers only?
Yeah, the first time I posted it, I was like, this thing, you know, let me know what you think it is. Wrong answers only.
Oh
yeah.
So I guess the real answer, and it was unintended.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know, it was funny, like, some people were guessing the real thing, and some people were adding...
I didn't catch that part. But also, I knew I had an insider thing, but I also had no idea that you were making that.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, that's fair enough. I'll take a guess, because I really didn't know if that was it. Like, this...
Right.
I was thinking this would be a good use for that, but I really didn't know.
Yeah. And I don't know what I did with, like, the welder, if it was, like, I don't know. The weld bead was not like a bead, you know, like what call it, they like stacking dimes, you know, like, so it's a bunch of like overlapping discs. That's kind of what it looks like. That happens by the rotation motion, cause you're melting a puddle into these little like rings, and there's almost like a spring sitting on its side. And so I was trying to do that, but I wasn't getting like a puddle of weld.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting tons of splatter, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, so it basically looked like you know, I took like a bunch of little rocks and just like put them around the bottom, and that's like what's holding on the pipe. But it held, right? So it, like, it actually welded to it. It just didn't look very nice, but that's okay. I don't know, but I did get a bunch of good when I posted that about like the shitty weld job. I got a bunch of good technique, like suggestions, yeah, for what it was. And one of the things that Sean said, he said that it might have been that I was using like MIG wire and not flux core wire. You know, so the flux core, when you're doing a flux core weld, you have on a spool, you have a spool of wire that has flux on the outside of the actual wire, and flux is the thing that keeps the weld no oxygen, and you need to have like a lack of oxygen so that way everything melts together well. So if I was using MIG wire, which is just regular wire, because with a MIG you're using a gas, and the gas gives you the no oxygen barrier, as opposed to the flux core, which just runs like electricity through the wire. So if I was, maybe I was just using like just MIG wire instead. I'm not sure, but could be the reason.
So I think we should both, when we have off time at Maker Camp this year, go over to the old welding tent and do a little welding, and you can also ask some questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take
a look at it. Because that's really, I mean, sometimes that's all you need is to sit down with someone who knows their shit.
Right.
Just pick their brain for a minute. And like we always say, there's a bunch of tricks in every discipline.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of stuff. Like if I sit down and teach you guitar on a real high action shitty guitar, it's going to be tough.
Right. Yeah.
Here, this guitar, it's still cheap, but it's got good action and it won't hurt your fingers as much, and do this and do that. And it's like, oh, well, this is so much easier. Like, yeah, right? Right? Because
you're
doing it right. You had someone to give you a couple quick tips about how to do this thing. And you got this tool that's not really the right tool for what you're using. And it's just going to make it harder. So here's this tool. And you go, oh, shit, this is easy in the game.
Oh, this is way easier. Yeah, right? The angle. It's all, oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah.
Oh, man, this is working how I think it should work. So speaking of that, I don't know why I wanted to go to Maker Camp talk, but I'm just trying to think about the videos and stuff we want to do while we're there. Oh, I know what I want to say. Right. I missed the cheaper deadline for like Maker Camp tickets. I don't know.
Silver.
Yeah. I need to maybe next year I'll see if I can get some type of pass on your demonstrator. Like I'm a part of the Dustin crew, like I'll be helping with bow stuff. Can I please just camp and for free, like since Dustin is camping and he's not using up a room, like his group, his people, right? We get a, there's two of us in the demonstration, like I'll help string up bows when we go shoot, and I'm like I'm part of it.
Yeah, it's the one thing I actually need to, I need to reach out to Austin to ask him about Corinne, because I also haven't, I didn't buy a ticket for Corinne.
Oh, boy.
But I was kind of thinking like, oh, it might have just be a, you know, she's my daughter and she's coming along, so maybe I'll get a pass. Yeah, I'll ask him. If not, I mean, I'm not worried about it. I'm happy to buy her a pass, but
yeah. I'm screwed, or as what's his name from Braveheart would say. I'm not going to say it, but... I'm all right, but I think you're effed.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure.
You're fucked. I know I pray to the Lord upstairs, and he can get me out of this one. But
the good Lord tells me he'll get me out of this one. Yeah, right. Pretty sure. You're fucked. Yeah.
So I missed the early deadline, so I'll have to...
What's the difference? The
price difference? I have no idea. I just saw it's like, hey, get yours by the end of July.
Yeah, right.
Which I miss. So maybe I can reach out to Austin.
Yeah,
it's probably not. I don't know. It's though,
just, know. It might be like $30 or something.
I'll different. Just cough it up.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
But I'm really looking forward to Maker Camp this year.
Yeah, man.
Just to go and see every.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Body and
yeah,
it's gonna be great.
Here, Chris Cash is moving.
I saw that. Is that real? Where's he going? Yeah.
He's moving to Tennessee.
What?
I know, right? Because I saw him post about something. He was like doing it, and so I sent him a DM. I was like, "What are you doing, man? Where are you going? Where are you moving?" He said, "Tennessee." So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, you know, it must have been kind of not last minute, but kind of quick. Right, because, like, you know, he's been working on, like, made his new sign for his property, and, you know, he's always been, like, he loves that property out in Frederick, and, you know, kind of been adding onto it and building onto it for years to, you know, for shopping on.
He must have got, like, maybe a deal on some land, or...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's further south, and so it's just more, like, centrally located to where he travels to, you know, take tools places or whatnot, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. did I catch that cough?
Yeah, not totally.
Dang.
Cut.
I tried to mute it.
Yeah, but yeah, it was funny. I posted about an axe that I was trying to figure out what the maker was, and I was like, you know, trying to figure out this maker, blah blah blah. So I posted on Instagram, and you know, I was like, what is this? And he responded back, it's an axe.
Oh, smart ass.
So I said, yeah, I sent him a message back. I was like, maybe Tennessee isn't far enough.
Maybe we should go next week or the week after and go see him and buy some stuff.
He said that he's doing end of August. Okay. Like get together, middle to end of August, get together. Right. He's gonna have a big thing out of his place. So
maybe yeah, we'll really go and hang out for a bit, like bring a six pack and really hang out.
Yeah, it'd be great. You know. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely should.
But we're staying. We're staying till the sun goes down. We'll get a little Frederick Hotel. The
cows come home. Yeah, right, exactly. A little
Frederick Red Roof Inn. Get an Uber there. Bring a bunch of beers.
I went to Frederick last weekend or last, not like a week ago on Thursday. So actually exactly a week ago. And when my in-laws have a house over in West Virginia, so we met in Frederick. It's about an hour both ways for us and for them. So met in, with my mother-in-law, went out to dinner. And
where'd you go?
We went to a place called the Lazy Fish. It's just it's a Japanese restaurant, real small, but yeah, really good food. So,
I was thinking of places I went when in my 20s. We never went to a Japanese restaurant in Frederick.
Yeah, we went last time. We went to a Mexican place, which was really good, and then this is one that Nicole found. So, but we before and after, we actually walked up and down the like canal that runs right through Frederick, which is so cool, man. That was so nice.
Yeah, nice little. It's like they cool have a artwork parade there every year. Or a canal parade, like a Christmas thing.
Oh, really? Like on the water? Or like, or just, I guess, up and down the sides?
Yeah, on the water. They got boats that go up and down. And
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've seen... It's funny, now that you say it, I've seen, like, advertisements about it.
Yeah.
The Frederick Boat Parade.
I love Frederick.
That's cool. Big fan. Super nice. I was like, man, this is great. We were just walking around, got some ice cream, and walking up and down the canal, and it was beautiful out. And it's a nice little spot.
Great spot.
yeah.
So yeah, Chris Cash. It's like those things. It's like a restaurant that you love but you never visit, and then when it closes, and you're like, "Oh, why'd it close?" It's like because you only went there once in the last 3 years, and you're like, "Yeah, but I like knowing it was there."
Yeah, right.
It's like, "Oh, Chris, why? Where are you going? We could hang out." It's like, but you never did. I'm like, well, okay,
that's why he's moving. That's why Harrah Brothers never came out.
If they come to visit me more, I won't go.
Three times in 3 years. Yeah, he's selling a ton of stuff though. Yeah, and he's been posting.
Do we know what Stagmar's gonna do?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Bro, tell him to bring his trailer. Bring it down to the O'Hara household. Bring it down to your place. You're like, come over here, make knives. Put it in the backyard.
Yeah, right. He's I think he's down like near DC. That's where he lives. So he was kind of commuting out anyway, you know, whatever that was, an hour or so out to Chris's. But yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard. I'm sure we'll find out though what he's doing. And I know Ilya live like right around the corner, so I'm sure that he's doing something. I don't know. I was flipping through random TV channels. I was watching Alistair over at Sean and Kate's, and I flipped on Forged in Fire, and it was the episode that Ilya was on. I was like, hey, cool, Forged in Fire, Ilya. I was telling Emery and Alistair, I was like, I know that guy. They're like, really? Cool. Like, yeah.
I know him.
But yeah, I know him, Ilya. But yeah, I don't know. So that's you know, just thinking about that, thinking about the people that we'll see at Maker Camp, which is always so much fun. You know, it's that kind of like reunion, maker reunion. You know, and when we get like, I think we, as well as other people, all have their kind of local things that happen, you know, so you get to see a few people a couple times a year, the locals that you're used to seeing, that like, so we have like, you know, here in Maryland, we have a few different things that we could do, like Matt Harris's, you know, Hammer and Get Together, which we've seen a couple people there at. And I've seen a couple people at like, the Renaissance Festival and stuff. And then obviously when we go out to Chris's and he has his sales and stuff, we see people there. So
I think you need to handle the Maryland Makers get together.
Oh, okay.
So you have the area, you have the parking.
Right. Yep. Do like a, yeah, like an overnight.
Especially now Chris Cash won't have his. We're running out of get together
people to do it. That'd be fun to do, like a like an overnight, like a fire hangout. Mm-hmm. You know, make some stuff, maybe forge some stuff, and Yeah, I don't know. That'd be fun. It'd be good.
Right. Do a Saturday, like you can come just for the day, or we have places where you can maybe, yeah. You know, where you throw up some tents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need a porta potty person. People yeah, have right. to poop yeah. in your house. You just put it right out by the garden.
Get a nice, a swanky one. Ooh. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I got to follow that that quote that you said in the beginning. You know, you got to be diligent about following up the that's things right. you want to do.
Just got to yeah. do it. Pull the trigger and make it happen. That'd be fun. Yeah,
that would be fun. Well, if this was my property, I would do it. It's a little weird.
You could do it. They won't 60 know. People. By the time here, it happens, six. I don't think we'd pull 60. It'd be like 10. It'd be less than a normal yeah. get together.
Less than a normal family get together.
You know, and all of us like barking. It'd probably be less than that.
That's all right. We'll see. Cool. Tomorrow. And if you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, on August 2nd, today, Friday, is the announcement for the YouTube Knife Maker Challenge, the most recent one, which is the Apocalyptic Challenge. So that'll be super fun. So if you guys haven't seen that yet, head over to YouTube, check out the link there, and I'll post it on the community post. I'll repost the video. And all the links and everything for the different channels will all be there, and you'll see who's participating. But we have another, I think it's like 15 participants and 5 judges and some good good sponsors and stuff. So if you're listening and you want to participate in the YouTube Knife Maker Challenges, you can, the viewers can participate and they can make things. You can go to, I think on Facebook, I think it's YouTube Knife Maker Challenge is the Facebook page that people can join, and you can see stuff there, and you can see other people making things, and we all kind of post that page just to like kind of update as what's going on. So you have to join that page, and then you can also make the item that we're all making, and then the people who are participating in the YouTube Knife Maker Challenge, the videos, the content creators, we then vote on the viewer builds, and we vote on the ones that we think are the best. So the people who win those win different prizes based off of what we have available from the different sponsors. So that'd be super fun. But I like the idea of the Apocalyptic Challenge.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if you're listening to this podcast. If you have made it 50 minutes into this podcast, you have to, at the end of everything, we shoot and make mm-hmm. the video. You gotta vote, because if everyone who listens to the podcast votes, we would win.
Yeah, right.
Really, exactly. The numbers are not that huge, so
yeah.
Please vote. Yes. Let us win one, and we might have a chance because there's not like found Damascus. So
yeah, I wonder about that, because I think, like, I think the basically the rules are like that you're using some type of scrap.
So someone will do it. Someone will do it, for sure.
Yeah. But so I think people are going to be, like, taking, you know, like, taking leaf springs and cutting them up and forging Damascus out of them or something. Yeah, but
really going to find something interesting and make
yeah, them. Yeah, it's going to make something fun.
Artistic and fun, and maybe have some movement, maybe something going on. Yeah. And just before the podcast, we're talking about maybe doing an episode of going out to a junkyard or to a, a scrap place and finding the stuff. Just doing a whole episode on the channel of sourcing the stuff.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun too, because I think that, like, obviously, you know, I could come up with an idea. And I have, since we've talked about it, and since we as the group of people all realize that's what we want to do. I've had all sorts of different ideas, but like, I like the idea of making it feel like something where, okay, let's go find a bunch of random stuff that might make a weapon. You know, that's right. Like what you would do in an apocalyptic situation.
Yeah. So, have some general parameters, but you might get inspired by something off a car or some piece of random scrap that looks deadly. You know, something that moves weird, and you're like, oh, this thing that ratchets here, this is pretty slick. I could smack someone in the head with this.
Yeah. And I like the idea of using kind of like maybe some more basic tools, you know, like, I don't know, I might do some shaping or something with the 2x72s, but I think, you know, grinding bevels with like a 4-inch, you know, 4.5-inch angle grinder, things like that, you know, like something that would be a more common tool not that, you know, I don't know, like if we have
not that you got electricity tools,
in the
really.
Apocalypse. Yeah, right. But, you know, I think just having some of those, like just doing some stuff with some more basic tools just for fun, you know, because I think that would be, it'd be fun to do and fun to see, like for people watching.
We could take it all the way. We could do the first episode where you basically backpack in with something that can hold stuff, you know?
Oh, right.
And you like carry come you in, can. You look like you just can't, you know, you got like your hiking backpack on and you're mm-hmm. like, all right, whatever I can carry out of here is what we're going to take back to the shop. And then you go back to the shop and you use like one electric cable or like, you know, a generator and you do it all outside. Yeah. Like, and now that this is all we have, look, we found one source of electricity. I've got these couple tools, you know, so the continuation of the video is you like walking to the outside of your shop and like, like you said, you got an angle grinder and you got a couple things and you just work on it.
Yeah, no, I like that. It'd be fun. You know, I think just it's a
continue
fun
the
way
theme
to, like,
and also have the video of. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be great.
Of prepping it all. Like, yeah, come back next, you know, next for the video and see me put all these things together, you know? Yeah, and maybe, like in the video after sourcing, I could kind of be talking about what I think I might want to do, you know? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. maybe this, maybe this, maybe this could be this, and, you know.
And then you hike off screen. Like, you're hiking through the woods in the beginning of the video. And like, oh, look, a scrapyard. Like, like, go into it and you find your stuff and you start strapping it to your pack and like you carry everything out and then we'll see you next time. I'm gonna hike. I know of a place where there's some tools. Here's a residential house. It looks like they got some stuff and then that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And I like you know, as video content makers, you know, I like the cinematic stuff. Yeah, I think it just makes it fun, different. You know?
Yeah.
And I think like everyone, not that people are expecting it, but people I think are probably now expecting it from our channel, you know? Cause like we did the whole water, like the crazy water scene with the, you know, with the Viking axe and we did the like running down the hill with the Scottish dirk, you know, the dagger and, you know, so it kind of put together something fun.
And the
Exactly. Yeah. So I think people are expecting that now a little bit from our channel, which I think is fun. You know, it's fun to have the ability to shoot things like that and do something a little bit more cinematic and a little bit more, like creative. So
I like the idea of, you going like found things. So found things and also found tools. Mm-hmm. Obviously you're going to need a couple of the main ones.
Right.
But maybe you can have basic, do the...
Yeah.
Basic versions of it or something.
Right. Yeah, we can figure out something like that.
Because you don't have to shine anything up. You don't... I think the main thing will be making it interesting looking.
Right,
yeah. And have some interesting manipulations to it. Some type of movement or something that does something.
And then,
like, the blade edge won't be as important, you know. You're not doing all that type of stuff. It's more putting together something cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was having that thought. I was like, you know, I was thinking, okay, what would I actually want? What type of weapon would I actually want in that situation? You know, and it'd probably be something that had some type of like multi-use, you know, it could be a knife, could be a spear, could be a, you know, a blunt object type thing. Like, you know, I was thinking maybe some type of spear thing, you know, like, but then I don't know. I kind of went through all these different levels of like, okay, do I want something realistic or do I want something extra over the top? You know, do I want it to be like Mad Max style or do I want it to be, you know, like, I don't know, Frontier style, you know, like, I don't know. You know, it's hard to know which way to go.
Right. Could you do something, moving or could you do something like that has multiple things, something's bolted together.
Right.
You can unbolt it, like it's a bludgeon thing, and then you unbolt it and it's got, you know, a machete.
Yeah,
something else. Something that can like be bolted together, three pieces, like
a
giant Swiss Army knife, and then
you can hit
people with it, but then it's to be lighter, you unbolt it and it's got blades on the side or it's got an axe on the side of it, you know.
Right, yeah. 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 Yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be fun. And I think, like, because there are so many versions of what this could be, you know, like, you can basically be as creative and wild as you want, and it will fall perfectly fine into the line of apocalyptic weapons.
Right.
I think having a thing where we go somewhere and look for the supplies to make it will actually be beneficial, right? Because it's like, okay, now, yeah. Like, this is like, you just got to find what's here, and this will help to spark the creativity of what it is. You know, so I think it'd be cool. You know, I think, like, having, yeah, like, having a pipe or something that's long, that's, like, two pieces that can unscrew, might be kind of cool. Yeah, like, who knows, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah, like, some type of, yeah, pipe, and then it's a long, like, pike, like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
spear thing. Yeah, then you unhook it. It's an axe.
Right.
It's half the size. And then
right, exactly.
You take that off and it's something you can throw or, you know, something
crazy. Yeah, or like there's that. Like a sword inside of it or something.
Right,
or,
right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's all those, it's all like kind of fun ideas. Like I said, I could come up with drawings and ideas for things to make with whatever all the time, but it's mm-hmm. being able to actually go somewhere and find out, like look for something, I think will be a fun way to be forced into a certain direction.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Nice. That'll be fun. I'm excited about doing that. Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about, and I forgot to talk about this when we were talking about camping, was the giant dice you made. which Pensac is happening right now,
right.
But we're happy to say that we did get good use out of the giant dice,
right.
which is fun because we the evenings after all the kids went to bed and stuff, we would do some gambling games. So we would like we brought cards and stuff. So we did some cards one night, and we just did a bunch of dice games one night, which was fun. Those big dice were great, man.
That's they're awesome. I figured they would be. You can play so many dumb games with them.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. I wanted to make them so big. It really did work out that it can, the dice are big enough where you can see them by like firelight. Cause I've done that before. I've gone camping with people and we had those type of dice. It was like yard dice. And that's what we did. It was by the fire. We'd hang out and then someone would jump up and go like, "Hey, come on, like, let's play a little bit." And you're rolling dice by the fire and by the, you know, it's fun. It's
yeah,
a lot of fun.
That was cool. Yeah, they like I said, they turned out really nice. So that was cool. They're good and like, you know, kind of rustic enough that they like felt, they didn't feel precious. You know, I was like, throw them around. It was cool. No. It was made out of 4x4s, right? Cut into squares.
Yeah,
into cubes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very simple. 3.5.
And then you said,
three and a half. I don't know.
Dyed the dots or something, or
yeah, what'd you do? I mean, because I was going to take them to Pensac, so I want them rustic looking. So I. Mm-hmm. I just drilled the holes with like, I don't know, like half inch bit or something and drilled it in just by eye, you know? And,
yeah.
Cause I knew, you know, that's part of the look.
Right.
And then, yeah, I used some whatever berries or whatever was around the yard squish in there and dye him cause he needs to be darkened a little bit. And, yeah, there's no stain or anything on it. It's just naturally dirty and bummed. And then, you know, a little hand sander, palm sander thing, kind of sanded everything around the edges and made it
right at the corners.
You know, really pushed in on the corner so it's well, like, grooved in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got their use. We didn't go to Pensac, but that's going right now. Maybe next year, we'll see. But
yeah. So what berries did you use? Did you use like wine berries or was it just
there was some off a tree.
Okay.
And there was
some of those like choke cherries or whatever.
I forget what they are. Yeah. The one off the tree.
Puke berries.
They almost look like little raspberries. They almost look like wine berries. You know, the ones that come off the trees. I don't know what they are, but those are the poisonous ones. So they
Which
were all
trees. Are they mulberries?
Maybe it was the ones near the, near the garden, there's that tree there that has a little bench there.
I think. Oh, the two trees with the bench in between it. Like,
no,
is it
one,
in the, on the edge of the forest?
No, by the garden now.
Really, that's got berries on it.
They're not. Yeah, they're whatever they are. Yeah,
some I type wonder, of. Yeah. Huh. Thing. I mean, I'm curious to see what they. I don't know what they are. What type of tree that is.
Dad could tell you. But.
Yeah, I would say, because like, if it's a mulberry tree, like, those are edible.
I don't know. I didn't want to try. But they dyed it up real good. I just mushed them into the holes. And
well, that's like those, what is it like? The puke berries, whatever. It's like that plant that grows and they like all these little, you know, purple berries all over it. And like, and whatever you squeeze in, they're super like bright magenta red. And you know, I was imagining like that. It's like a super dye.
It was just enough to darken it up. I started out with, what do you call it? Not charcoal, but from the fire.
Yeah, right. Just some charred wood or whatever.
Charred wood, yeah. And it just wasn't getting in the cracks enough.
Yeah, right.
So then I went out and find some whatever I could, and that did it.
That's great. Yeah. It did the trick. Right, because the wetness like soaks into the grain.
Right, into the cracks, and it was just enough, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I think I was already like pretty well lit when you said it, because I was like, or at least I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I like forgot about it, because I meant to talk to you about that afterward. I was like, but yeah.
So the orange crushes, man. Those are,
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so good. So much.
They're so good. I don't know if I've ever had like a, I mean, I think I've had an orange crush at a restaurant or something before, but it wasn't as good as those, man. Oh, those are awesome. Yeah. So our friend Annette, she had her birthday while we were there, and so for her birthday we each so my three brothers and myself, Devin included, all of us, like the four of us, we each decided to buy her a gift, and it was like a $20 limit or whatever, like, because we were trying to think of something cool to get her, you know, as a group. We're like, let's get her a gift. We couldn't think of something, so I was like, well, let's just do like something fun. So my suggestion was that we each bought her, like, we go to like the toy section and buy her a cool toy, you know, something that's kind of fun, that's just like something that we would like, you know. And then we all wrapped them and then gave them to her without her knowing who was who, like whose gift was whose. Mm-hmm. And then she had to choose who the giver was, and she actually got it pretty good. She got the like two out of, or she guessed two right and two wrong, but she did. She got the like, she got mine right. She got Drew's right.
Foam rainbow.
that was so funny.
The lame Derek gift.
I know. I was like, what is that?
Derek is the worst.
He's like a three plus.
He's such a bad gift giver. God bless you, Derek. You the worst gift giver on the planet of the earth.
He's given me some cool gifts.
Yeah, well, not to me. I guess it's just to you.
I'm the receiver of good gifts.
He's the giver, if not so good
gifts. I know. I was like, really? That's what he got? Like, that's what he thought was cool? I was like, obviously you didn't know you didn't follow the guidelines.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, what you're supposed to give it. With yeah. That. I have no idea.
I know, right? So, yeah. So I got what did I get? The helicopter, remote control helicopter. It was like $19.99. It was perfect. Yeah. Remote control helicopter.
Drew got the guns.
Drew got like the popper guns, which I have actually one of those in my truck. I was like, what is this? Oh, it's a little popper, a little foam ball. You know, like 1-inch foam.
I got
ball.
Her the Rubik's cube.
Rubik's pretty cube. Simple.
But yeah, I did. I while I was at camping, I went to the Dollar General and was looking through stuff, and that was like the only decent. Like, I'm not gonna get her a doll. I'm not gonna get her. It was like something that might actually it'll last. Everyone likes a little Rubik's cube, so
yeah. So it was fun. But yeah, so she got 2 out of 4 right, which was fun because I was like, all right, now everybody hand. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it was like the when I saw you guys rapping. I thought I saw Derek rapping. The smaller of the two. So that's why I actually thought she got it right when I was like, all right, now everyone, like, now let's hand them back to whose is whose. I actually thought she got it right straight up. I was like, dang. And so, but then it was great because you and Derek like tossed them and like switched them off, so she got 2 out of 4, which is kind of fun. But the other gift was that we brought some vodka and made orange crushes.
My real gift to her was juicing a whole bag of oranges.
Yeah, freshly juiced
oranges. Supplying the idea of orange crushes.
Yeah, they were delicious. Yeah, it was fun. Cool, man. All right, well, I think that's it. That's all we got. Glad to be back because it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, and you know, always fun to chat. Let's see, next week we'll have to record early because I'll be gone Wednesday through the following Wednesday.
You're
Lake George, New York. Yep. Yeah. So.
And I am. We are going to do the bike ride.
Oh, right on.
So far, it's Guy and I. So okay. I don't know if we'll see if Drew and Derek can go. They didn't respond, and then we'll see if anyone else wants to go. But
sweet, right on. You're doing the same thing again?
We'll be doing it.
Nice.
And if we really enjoyed it and want to try for a winter version, I'd be down for that too. Like October or November, we could try. That'd be
cool.
Too.
Yeah, cool weather one. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Nice. Right on. Sweet. Yeah. That would be fun. I know. I like when you mentioned that. I was like, dang. You know, I was like. These last 3 weeks, it's like this weekend's Gov Cup. Next weekend is Lake George, and the following weekend is Nicole's birthday. So we're going to the ocean, and then after that, I'm back in school.
Yeah,
it's like, man, the summer goes by so quick. Right. We'll try all your plans.
We'll try later in the.
Nice, right on. Yeah. Yeah, that was a blast, and we did that last year. So I definitely want to do that again. Cool, man. All right, well, what do you got for a recommendation? This week,
I really got nothing. I've been thinking about it during the podcast, and nothing special. I'm trying to think of what I've been watching. It's mainly Olympics and House of the Dragon. So have you been keeping up with that?
No, I haven't watched any yet.
Oh man. Right. Well, I mean, I'll do that one again, I guess. If you're not watching, or you didn't hear the others. It's really good this year, and this last episode was great, and the making of the House of Dragon episodes are awesome too.
And they come out each week, right? Like each episode. They come
and they're like a half an hour each. So you get all the maker stuff, versions of all the props they did and how they shot it and where they went and where, you know, they did the dragon. It's great.
Nice, right on. Sweet.
But you know, you don't have to put that in show notes, but that's for people who haven't heard, who don't.
all right, where is it? Shoot. Yep, there he is. It's funny because I was like flipping through Instagram Reels or Facebook stories or something. I forget what it was, but I was like, I got in a cycle of clips of Game of Thrones. So I was like scrolling along and I was like, I watched one. So obviously the algorithm was like, oh, you like watching Game of Thrones clips. So then it gave me a whole bunch and it was like all of Tyrion Lannister. It was like a 10-minute video, like all Tyrion Lannister stuff and all like Daenerys and like her dragons. And it was like, I was like, oh man, it really made me want to watch Game of Thrones again.
Oh, it's great.
Ooh, yeah. And I watched the first season of House of the Dragon, but I haven't watched the second one yet. So
who's good. I mean, without, that actor, Paddy McGuinness, I think, is who's the king.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he's so good in that. Like, he is so good in that first season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always, like, worn out. He doesn't want to do it. Yeah, he doesn't want to deal with it. He's always trying to get peace.
Yeah.
Because the main thing, let's make peace, stop it. Yeah. Everyone shut up. And his performance is so good throughout that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have won all the awards. So he's not really in the second one. There's some flashback stuff where he is, but it's still really good. The show is so well done. And now that they're putting money into it, it looks great. Yeah. And now there's like, the thing I'll say, it's not spoiling anything, but there's the 7th episode just coming out. So the 8th is next week, and I think that's the last one, which sucks. Okay. But there's like, you start to, there's like more information about each dragon.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one and that one. This one does that. And this one does that. And this one's better at this. Like, it's really starting to get cool where you're like, it's like cars or something. Like, this one has the Mustang, but this one has the SS, and this one has this. You know, it's like this really cool thing where everyone's like,
sweet.
The comparing, contrasting different dragons and seeing what goes on. It's
really good. Nice. Yeah, because in the first season, they like, you know, what's her name, gets like the biggest dragon, you know, like, and there's a few, like, there's some stuff about it, but. It's not as much. Yeah. And like the son, you know, the boys, like whatever name, her name's sons, like they get their dragons get and stuff. And,
yeah. But there's a little bit more of that. And it's just so well done. Even the simple, each episode, it has the feeling that each episode is longer than it. I mean, and they do full hour episodes, which is good. A lot of shows cheat it, and they do like 40 minutes, and six minutes of it are you know, the end titles.
Yeah, right.
But each one's like a full hour. They all feel like they're packed full of stuff, and it's great.
That's sweet. Yeah, man, it's just like, that's just fun. You know, like, just the effects, the visual effects these days are just potentially so good, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, when you get something like that, that's going to get, the ratings are going to be so high. You know, they know that it's worth every penny to put time and money into it.
Yeah, and they're going to places, and they're going to Spain and Wales and here and there, and going to this mountainous place to get this shot, and this crazy beach out. That's what I love. That's what I love about the idea of movie making, is this group of people going out to these amazing places, and that's
to get
what
these awesome shots.
Right, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to capture. And a few of them I didn't even appreciate until watching the making of, but I did love the show, so that sunk in. But I didn't necessarily understand where they went to get some of the shots. So it does its job. It makes me love it, even though I don't know all the details. But then when I know the details, the details should make you love it more. It shouldn't be like, oh, they did it all like this blue screen in a warehouse. It's like, oh, they all traveled to Spain, where they went to Wales for this one scene on top of a mountain, but they took 200 people to the top of the mountain and shot crazy. For 3 days. Like, that's what I want. That's really, I want that work put into it.
Right, yeah. To get just that, like, just a shot that looks just so cool, you know.
That's,
like,
that's the thing that takes you away. That's what transports you to another world, or to that's what you want. You want that sense of adventure on the screen. If it's all CG, we'll know. You'll feel it in your soul.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, my recommendation is not anything like that, but mine is an Instagram page that follows Francis McCaffrey, and he is a Irish handmade blackthorn shillelagh maker. So he makes, you know, shillelagh is like out of blackthorn, which is the traditional kind of stick, walking stick, you know, kind of banging, hitting each other with a stick.
He only gets them from the Blackthorn Resort.
Exactly. He travels all the way to the States for the Blackthorn. He and then he goes and visits Keith Drennan for the Blackthorn Concepts and gets them from him too. but yeah, no. So Francis McCaffrey's, his page is McCaffrey Crafts on Instagram, and he just, like, he gathers and collects the blackthorn sticks and makes the awesome shillelaghs out of them, and he kind of shows how he does it. It's super simple. Like, it's just, he's like, oh, let's just cut a chunk off. All right, now let's rasp it down, and we're gonna make a ball end, and like, there's some cool colors here, let's leave that. And then, like, okay, I'm gonna straighten them up a little bit. So he, like, bends them in a weird jig to get them straighter, and it's just kind of fun to see the stuff he does. And thinking about that as well, I just started following another page, and I can't think of the name off of the top of my head, but it's like We Love Sticks or something. It's just people, like, showing their awesome sticks that they find. They're like, look at this cool stick. And they're always like, hey, Stick Nation, here I am in, you know, Valencia, Spain, with this crazy stick I just found on the beach. And look at this. It looks like, and it's like the words they use to describe their sticks. And they're like, yeah, and you can swing it, and you can whack people with it this way, and you can hold it like this, and it's like an awesome hitter. You know, it's like, it's all the things that kids say about sticks. Like, it's got a cool handle, and it can hit people, and it can whirl around.
Yeah,
it's great. You just see these, like, there's kids and there's adults, and I'm talking about sticks, but I really like, I found this guy, I don't know how I found him, kind of popped up, but he makes, like, traditional shillelaghs out of blackthorn, and it's just cool watching him make the sticks and stuff. You know, he shows little bits and pieces of it, but
right on.
McCaffrey Crafts on Instagram, check him out if you like Irish shillelaghs.
Of course, a Dustin recommendation is sticks. Classic Dustin.
I know, man. When I found the stick page, it's like people who like sticks. I was like, these are my people. Stick Nation. I'm all about these people. I love sticks.
It's true. What? You know, I'll do one.
All right.
I'll do a Drew one.
Okay.
This is a very off the wall golf one. I know it's weird. There's this golfer, Bryson DeChambeau. It's like, can you break 50, which is just it's like breaking a really, really low score in golf. Like, right. You need like 4 eagles and 5 birdies. And he does it with random people. He did one with Trump. It came out after the assassination thing. So the assassination, and it came up. I don't know why it came up on my thing, but maybe I was watching stuff about like the assassination attempt. But it's really good, and it's great to see Trump act normal and be happy. You know?
Yeah, right.
He's so bombastic in his normal political career. It's cool to see him happy, and then to see someone to see two guys just hanging out. But surprisingly, I always thought that Trump can golf well. Stuff was just BS. Like, you know, he's you know, say what you will, but Trump is definitely a blowhard. He will say he can do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So him saying he like won rounds of golf and he's this like. But they shoot one of the best rounds of golf together
on this episode.
And they are so good together. And Trump is so normal that it's like an hour, but you watch the whole round of golf and it's really shot well. Right. And you can follow what's going on. And the pro is really like surprised at how it's going. And he's like, oh my, like another great shot. It's a really cool video. So check it out if you're interested.
What's it called again?
It's Can We Break 50?
Okay.
Let me find the exact. Bryson DeChambeau. It's got 10 million views already. Of course, it's got Trump
in it. But,
It's Can I Break 50 with the President Donald Trump? It's like an hour long. It's just a really nice watch.
Nice. Sweet. Yeah, like, I think anytime, like, someone just puts some, like love and effort into what they're doing, it doesn't really matter what it is and who's in it. You just like, you can feel the passion, you know. It's like the meat eater stuff, you know, you feel the passion, the guy's there. Like I've been, what's it like the Diesel Brothers, like a few of their like things have been popping up in my YouTube and Instagram. So I'm like kind of watching those and they're like, they're just having fun, you know, they're just like enjoying it. And so it's fun to see that type of stuff. It like doesn't matter what the content is. It's like when the people are really into it, you're like, oh, I kind of get into it. Like, it's awesome. Fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you hate Donald Trump, you probably won't like it. But if you don't care or are okay with him, I think you'll really like it. You
know? Open-minded.
If you just want to see him acting like a normal human being.
I think not a tool.
Because like it. It's a really fun round of golf. And they joke, they don't talk politics barely at all. It's just them like enjoying their hobby, their craft.
Nice. Right on. Sweet. Right on, man. Cool. Sounds good. All right, guys. Well, glad we could be back. Sorry we missed a couple weeks. We were out for the 1 week for camping, and then Devin was not feeling well last week, unfortunately, but we're back. Orioles are doing awesome, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool to see, or at least they're doing okay, but it was cool to see Jackson Holliday come back and hit a grand slam. Mm-hmm. Bam! That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. And look out for the announcement for the Apocalyptic Challenge for YouTube Knife Makers, and we'll do that, and then we'll get some videos coming out on that stuff coming up soon, which is fun. And head over to YouTube. You can find that there. And like I said, I'll post that stuff tomorrow on the community channel. I'll repost the announcement. And and let us know what you think. Check out the videos we have there. Like and subscribe. Let us know what you think in the comments of all of our videos, because that's always an awesome way for us to kind of hear about the people who are following along and doing things that are AOC, you know, related. Like if you mention something that's like an inside joke from the YouTube channel or an inside joke from the podcast onto the YouTube channel, we definitely notice that and love that type of crossover. So let us know that you're watching, that you're listening here as you're watching over there. It's always fun to kind of have a little bit more, you know, the people that listen here, we have a smaller group. So it's good to know who's over here as well. And you can follow along with what Deb and I are doing on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you want to support us even further, you can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. And everybody who supports us there also has access to the Discord channel, which we sometimes when we're like filming or we're behind the scenes, we'll kind of pop on there and chat and tell people what we're working on. So that's kind of fun too. So. Other than that, guys, we appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate you hanging in there with us, and we will keep on coming back. Hopefully, we're still planning on doing some video podcasts as well that might come out as a video on the channel. So look out for that. Otherwise, Devin, it was a blast. Always fun chatting again. Oh, yeah. Yep. Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.